mistakes have become regrets. I've learned to love abuse. Show me what I'm looking for. Save me, I'm lost. Oh Lord, I've been waiting for you. I'll pay any cost. Save me from being confused. Show me what I'm looking for. Show me what I'm looking for. Oh
Good morning. There is definitely a buzz in here today, and it's not the microphone system for once. Maybe winter is finally going to end. Welcome. Yes. Otherwise, we need the Winter Olympics year round, and I am not happy. Okay, three announcements that I've been asked to give. First of all, we have our second round of Spiritual Life workshops coming up real soon, March 21st. Six different workshops to be held after the Sunday service. There are individual cards to sign up for each of the workshops. Wherever you're at in your walk with God, there's a workshop for you. Wherever, whatever you're dealing with in life, there's a workshop for you. I'm not selling an iPhone or anything like that, but I am selling the workshops. Please begin to fill these out. The great people at the info spot will help you. This is something that we all need. We all need to know what the next step is in our walk with God and how to get there. And there are some great people who are helping to put on those workshops. So please start to fill those out and note there's a different card for each workshop. Just note the title is on there. Okay, second one. Inside your program for today, you have a blue piece of paper. And we're asking everyone to fill this out because we still write on stone tablets here, and not everything gets put into the computer. And so we need to know who you are and how we can best serve you and pray for you and such. So there's room for praise reports. There's room for prayer requests. There's room on here for help here at the river because we need lots of that. So please, fill that out. You can start that now. And then towards the end of today's service, you can just put that in the basket along with your cashier's check for $1 million. Okay, that's the second announcement that we have this morning. The third announcement, ushers will need bigger baskets for the offering today, just so you know that. The third announcement I get to give is, since we've got a good group of people here, including people all the way from Nebraska came just for church today, it's time for meet and greet. Stand up, introduce yourself to the people around you, give a hug to somebody you don't know.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Glad to see you all here. We're the River's Edge. We're going to do a song for you. Hopefully, it'll be good. If not, we encourage you all to join in and help us out. Thank you again.
They want you to say it again.
One more time. Good morning, everybody. I'm glad to see all these smiling faces here. We are the River's Edge. We're going to try to do this song for you folks. We encourage your help by singing along, and hopefully we can pull this thing off. Have a great day and enjoy yourselves. Thank you.
Just think what it would have sounded like if they would have invited me. Wow. Someone's got to do the jokes around here, though, so I can't do it all. Oh, that's a challenge, though. Where are the women groups? We've never had a women's group. Come on, girls. We don't need them. Ooh. The gauntlet has been thrown to the fairer sex here today. Well, I like that. That was good retro, meaningful, kind of cool. Little bird action going there. All right. Well, I think it's a good way to start the service today because we're going to get deep today. So I want you to kind of get ready. It's kind of rough. We're going to start with the book of Revelation, and everybody trembles and gets scared. The first part of Revelation is a segment where Jesus addresses the various churches, and he observes things about them and what was going on and what wasn't going on. And I would like to focus on one in particular, and I'm going to read out of Revelation 3:15-16. And Jesus is addressing a church pretty much like ours, or like any church. And he says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." Like, nice word picture, Jesus. You know, that's going to stick with me, you know. But Jesus is saying something to us, our church, any of the churches. We all have this struggle, and there's a reason behind that. We're going to kind of unpack that today. We're going to talk about the Spirit-led life and what that is all about in the life of a church, but also in the life of you. What is that all about? And so before we go there, I'd just like you to bow your head right now. Just kind of tune in to what God is saying to you today. Heavenly Father, it's easy to feel hot or cold, or even lukewarm. And the feelings, they just seem to come and go. They kind of drive me, and then other days, they don't do anything for me. And I will confess here to you, Father, that spiritual things, well, I grow too comfortable with them many times, and they don't get my attention, and it really can't be said of me that my spiritual life is hot. So I would ask you to teach me today how I can stay hot for you, the things that are important to you and your heart and your kingdom, ways that I can please you in my life and in your body, which is the church. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to show you a very retro picture. We're retro today anyways. That is my first vehicle, a 1968 Pontiac Tempest. Now, I'm just old enough where things weren't in black and white. They were just in green and white, as you can tell. That's what happens to Polaroid pictures when, over years. Pontiac Tempest. The name is awesome. A tempest. You know, a tempest means a fast storm, you know? And what you would have here is, I got this thing, it had 44,000 original miles. Greg, you'll like that concept. And I got it for $1,000. It was in mint condition. I babied that thing all the time. I would be shining the seats and everything. What's really cool is people are familiar with this car when they see it more like a GTO, but a Tempest was much cooler than any GTO because, yes, it was. I can make the case. First of all, a GTO doesn't have all that beautiful chrome on it. That's really about the only difference. And the Tempest is a fast storm. You know what a GTO is? Anybody know what a GTO is? But what does it stand for? Gran Turismo Amo Legato. Do you want a Gran Turismo Amo Legato or a Tempest? Rest my case. So I drove this thing like a Tempest. And if you were ever in Woodstock in 1978, you would have seen me. And I'd be driving that thing around all the time. I'd go around, if anybody knows Woodstock, anybody know Woodstock? Okay. And people my age, and maybe a little younger, might know that you pick up races on the square. Yeah, and maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. You just ride around the square, and you ride around the square, and finally somebody will kind of pick up on you, and then you'll go line up at the double spaces. And if they line up with you and they take off at the same time, it's go time. And you're going out to the bypass. One such time happened, I had my sister with me. And we take out off, and we get this guy, and I'm like, I've never seen this guy before. This looks like a good race. He's got kind of a square-looking car. We're going to go for this if he's for it. So we take out, and we're going out on Lake Avenue, 35 mile an hour. Are there kids in here? Do not do this ever or anything close to what I'm about to explain. So we're going out. It's 35 miles an hour, and I'm doing 65, and he's right at my tail end. And we're good. This is going to be a race. We're heading out there as fast as we can on Lake Avenue. And I see a bunch of cars kind of approaching this way. And I'm like, this is kind of scary because this is, you know. And all of a sudden, red, white, and blue lights start flashing all over in front of me and in back of me. The very car that was doing 65 behind me was a cop, an unmarked cop. And I'm serious, and I do not do anything like this because this will not happen for you children, okay? So there are five cop cars. It's about the first time, maybe the only time, my sister had ever been in the car with me. I wonder why that is. That just occurred to me. She was scared as could be. The detective comes out. And he says, you guys, out of the car right now. Now, we're scared to death. And we're like, oh, you know, and so my sister's, you know, real. He looks at the license. He sees our fear. And this won't happen to you, I guarantee it. And he says, we thought you committed a robbery. You just got lucky. You better drive carefully. And as fast as they pulled us over, they took off. And they didn't do anything to me. Can you believe that? Like, I didn't feel good about it. I was sicker than anything could be. So you would think I would take care of my beloved car. I learned a lesson. 2 weeks later, I blew the engine out of that car when it hit 118. It had a lot more left in it, Greg. I became older and wiser, learned to appreciate things. Obviously, my love for the Tempest grew cold, and I didn't take care of it, took it for granted. And then I get my iPod. Who loves their iPod? Yeah. When you first get your iPod, let me just ask you, when you first got your iPod, if you were anything like me, you had your iPod with you 24/7. This thing had 5,000 of your favorite songs and another 4,000 that you really didn't care much about it, all with you at any other time, right? Anybody did that? Am I the only guy 24/7? And you would talk about your iPod whenever the subject would come up. If anybody would mention iPod, hey, I got mine. You'd be like, look at this baby, you know. If anybody mentioned electronics, if anybody had mentioned Bulgaria, you're like, hey, I got a song that kind of thinks about it. It was like gold. And there are some people who even, when they first got it, would even take it to bed with them. Now it's church. Can you confess? Is there anybody here? Bed? Come on, it's church. Beyond, yes. I was one of those guys. This is a great hot item. But I don't know when it happened, but at some point, I'm not even sure where the thing is at most of the time. And the item is still great. It's still a hot item. People love it. But I don't feel all that great and hot about it anymore. It's not the most awesome thing that ever was. All that to say, why is it that we grow cold of things that are once hot? Why do we coast on feelings, and then when we don't feel, we tend to trash or misplace or misuse things that are still valuable? We moved into the church. This beautiful theater after a hard search, after a very hard renovation, and we got in here and we're like, yes, we got a Java bar, yes, we got an auditorium, yes, we got a kids' church, we don't have to set up and break down anymore, we're so excited, we got comfy chairs and cup holders and popcorn, and it just goes on, and everybody's electric, and we got this really safe spiritual family, people who support each other, who accept each other, who really enjoy each other. We talked about that last week, how not all churches like really enjoy each other, but here, that's what happens. And if you're just coming here on Sunday mornings, you're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. Trust me, the deeper you get into the river, the more alive it becomes. And it's this family where we're all growing to be like Christ. We're at different levels, but we're all growing and going together. We're out there serving homeless, serving in the Take Two ministry. You know, we got all these things going on. We're going to be doing Victory Gardens coming around the corner with John Mayer, March 21st. Sign up for that. You got that all going on. It's a place, a safe place where people are worshiping God and experiencing God on a weekly basis. And let me tell you, this kind of church is a pastor's dream. This is a gift. Isn't it wonderful to be part of a church like this? And it's a gift, and it's exciting, and it makes me feel good. But not every day do I feel great about what I do here. Confessions. It takes a lot of work to coordinate all the efforts every week and every month, and then trying to get the whole calendar year together. It takes a lot to administrate and to encourage and to keep moving forward. Imagine that, you know, I'm just a guy, you know, the feelings, they just kind of come and go. I'm like, why is that? Do you ever feel like that? And then imagine this. Not everybody who is plugged in always feels great about what they're doing here on a weekly basis. Imagine that. And not everybody's thrilled about every decision that is made. Imagine that. I have no idea where I'm at. I'm done. Let's pray. Great timing. I owe you $5. If we rely on feelings alone, we're never going to get anything done. We need something beyond ourselves, something outside of ourselves, to keep us on God's track so we don't lose our way. So we don't take for granted the gifts that God gives us. And namely, the two gifts that God gives you is your life and his church. Those are the two things that Jesus loves so much that he died and gave his life for. And we should remain hot at all times. But because we're humans, we don't. And so God gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit. It's called our teacher, our comforter, the one who convicts us, the one who keeps us on track. And when we follow that Spirit, when we are filled, as the scriptures say, with that Spirit, he's the one who keeps us hot for the things of God and not lukewarm. That's what the church needs. The church needs to be following the Spirit and not your own feelings. Because if you go on your own feelings, they come and they go. And you don't even know when they went. You don't understand when that happened. When did I start not liking my Tempest enough to take care of it? When did I start misplacing my iPod? I didn't love it that much. But we're talking about the church here. And so it's the Holy Spirit that keeps you hot. And so when Jesus was talking about that lukewarmness, lukewarmness is simply distance from the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Lukewarmness is simply distance from the Holy Spirit. Because it's not up to you to stay hot. It's up to you to stay connected to the Holy Spirit who keeps you hot. Following me? Everybody with me? So where are you at? What works in the church works in everyday life. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How do you stay hot for God? How do you stay hot for the things of God? The main cause of lukewarmness comes from relying on your emotions and your feelings before you do something good or something for God. Now, emotions and feelings are not evil. They're not even sin. God has emotions. He gives them to us. But when we get the emotions and the feelings out of order, then we find ourselves in trouble. When we allow feelings and emotions to be our driver, then the trouble hits. Examples. I don't feel love in my marriage anymore. I don't feel love in my marriage, so I have to get a divorce. There's no solution here. I don't feel happy right now. I need a drink. There's no other solution. I just don't feel happy. I got a drink. I don't feel God right now, so I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to go to church as much. I feel like I've been wronged, and I'm going to get even. We can even look at it to the point that I feel like doing good today. I feel like following God. I wake up in the morning, I'm going to follow God. This is going to be great. And I'm on the right road, and everything's coming my way, and it's awesome. And that would work great. But you never know when the feeling's going to stop. Like, when did I start not appreciating my Tempest? And you look back, you're like, I'm going on with God, and everything's going good. And then things start crashing around your life. And you say, when did I lose track of God? So you see how feelings can drive you to evil, but even when it's driving you towards good, it can all fall apart. And you don't even know where it went wrong. Where it went wrong is you weren't following the Holy Spirit. You weren't being empowered by the Spirit. You were doing it on your own energy, and your own energy is always going to go boom, 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 like a Monday morning. And that's not the Christian walk. And if that's the kind of walk you're living as a Christian, listen carefully to the words of Paul. We're going to go through Romans 8 a little bit. Romans 8, 5, we're going to start. And Paul says, those who live according to the sinful nature, and can I have some help up here? Yep, Cindy's going to help us with some charts. We have to go, it's retro day here. We used to do it electronically, but we can't do that electronically right now. So we're going to go old school whiteboard. Okay, those who live according to the sinful nature, which would be really just your soul, it's just who you are, would be yourself. Self, soul, feelings, you know, the parts of who you are, have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit, and she'll write on that one later, Spirit, have their minds set on what that Spirit desires. So in other words, if I live for myself, I'm going to maybe want things on my own. Like, I want so much money to make me happy. And so out of myself, I'm going to drive. And I want this amount of money. X amount of money is going to make me happy. And I'm going to work. I'm going to prioritize. I'm going to step on people if I got to. Whatever it takes, I have to get that amount of money. Or maybe it's that amount of success or that title. And you're just going to work until you get that. That's what drives you. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. That's what's going to drive them. Maybe it's hotness, you know? They're hot for money. They're hot for being happy. And myself, I'm driven to be happy. What is it going to make me happy? And the answer to that is probably as many people in the world. But what is it that makes you happy? Something, an urge that you need fulfilled, something, you know, to satisfy you. I don't know what that is, but you're driven. It's what your nature and your mind is set on. And you're going to go get that thing because you want that feeling fulfilled. Maybe it's control. You know, I just want control of situations in my life. I want things to go my way. So you will, out of what your mind is set on, going to manipulate people. You're going to give silent treatments. You're going to give the angry, whatever you're going to do. You're going to control. And that's where your energy is expended from. Even good can land up in this area. You know what? I want to be accepted by other people. I want to feel good about myself. I want other people to think highly of me. Maybe even you do good because I want God to think highly of me. So even good can come out of the self, or I would write soul down at the bottom. But those who live according to the Spirit, if we could shift over here, have their minds set on what the Spirit says. And so here you do whatever it takes because of feelings. Here you're doing it because God says to do it. And so here you wake up in the morning and you say, you know what? I feel great about following God. I'm going to follow God. But I'm going to be filled with the Spirit and follow the Spirit anyways. Or you wake up and I feel really crummy about today. I don't even know. And you know what? They had another earthquake. I don't even know if God exists or if he's even nice, you know. And then you go to the Holy Spirit. You say, fill me, Lord, with your life and direct me. So no matter how you feel, you do what God wants you to do. You're seeking God's way, whether you feel it or not. In fact, feelings are irrelevant to a mature Christian in what it means in driving them to do something. Is that too much? And so you enter the day, and maybe it's not just a haircut that you're getting, but it's an opportunity to encourage the person cutting your hair. Maybe it's an opportunity to pray for that person. Maybe God has an opportunity for you to invite that person into your life and into your church. I don't know. And maybe you've got a job, and you're like, you sold your soul for $10 an hour, and God's like, that's not why you're at that job. You're there to be a light. You're there to show character. You're there to show stability. You're there to show me. And maybe that neighbor, that single mom who's got the noisy kids, maybe that's not a pain. Maybe you're supposed to do something. Maybe you're supposed to help her with an oil change. Maybe you're supposed to help her with a babysitter. See how the Spirit-led mind is different? In fact, I would even go as far as to say, here, self is always going, feed me, give me, make me. That's what self is. Self is like this terrible vortex, whereas being Spirit-led is going to have your arrows coming out. Who can I serve? How can I make someone else's life better? It isn't all about me. Does that make sense? Here. Sorry, taking over your job. And when you're hot for the things of God, you start looking at life differently. And even the mundane, instead of, I hate this time of day because the sun's in my eyes, you might be able to notice there's this beautiful sunset that's right there because you're Spirit-led. Maybe the boss isn't that bad of a guy after all. And maybe when you're filled with the Spirit, you're more patient. Kids, and you actually enjoy the time that God has given you with your kids. And maybe even your spouse isn't the worst person in the world. That's how powerful the Holy Spirit is. Even your spouse is a gift. And it's in this place where vision, God might give you a vision and say, you know what? There is a need in this area, and instead of you whining and crying and other things about it, maybe you need to do something about it. And I'm going to give you a vision of what that could be. A lot of times, can I meddle a little bit this morning here? Am I okay? A lot of the things that you're complaining about in the government or in the town, and you're sitting there, bah, 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 or even into the church, bah, bah, bah. Anybody doing this? Bah, bah, bah. Well, if they just did it, if they were, that's the very thing the Holy Spirit has been trying to get you to change. Amen? Yes, but over here, bah, 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 I don't like it. It makes me feel bad. Bah, 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 bah. And all the time, it's actually the voice of the Spirit saying, would you change that thing? Would you? But because you're so stubborn and you're over here, you just want to about it. Amen? And it might be that way in your workplace. You're like, oh, well, if they would drop our crap, our crap, our crap, and the Holy Spirit's saying, you're supposed to be part of the solution here. Instead of doing this, this doesn't work. How many people have actually seen this work? Oh, hey, just because, you know, I remember the good old days when I went, and now everything changed because of that. Anybody, can I get a witness? There's no witnesses. But the Spirit is over here, and he's saying, that is a problem. Or if you submit to him, that thing you thought was a problem, you submit to him, it's not a problem. Like, yeah, it was a little messed up there. It's going to be a long day. So I guess the question is what chart do you usually end up on? Are you more driven by the self, or really more led by the Holy Spirit? Before you answer, let's go to the next verse. Thank you, Cindy. I think that's good for now. Verse 6. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Well, let's go with another chart. I at least pre-did this one, so. Do I need to move, guys? All right. It's a simple chart. You all seen this in school at some point. I'm in a bad place, aren't I? Guys, do I need to move? Sound people? I'm getting a feedback up here. I need to move? All right. I hope this works for guys, and we're going to get that screen fixed, and we'll be okay the next time we do this, but this chart going up is your ability to follow God, okay? While this line down here is you. Make sense? If you were to break down this verse, it says, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Your ability to follow God without the Holy Spirit is about that high. It doesn't go very high because feelings are going to drive you. We didn't problem solve any of that today. Your feelings are going to drive you, and you might feel like doing some good. You might feel like doing some obedience to God, but, you know, it might not go very far. But with the Holy Spirit, you're able to go very high. Because for you, right now, the self only has so much energy to take you this far. But God has enough energy to bring you this way. That's really rough. So how do you hear God? It's difficult to really answer that question. It's difficult to answer that question because we spend most of our time in this world, right? You guys spend most of your time in this world. And so it's hard to really figure out. I'm okay? right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for the sound and all the technical things going on here today. If there is anything trying to attack right now, we pray against that. And we ask that we would be experiencing life and peace here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Here, we live in a natural world. This is where we live. We hear the voices physically of people, and we know how to respond and if we're going to respond. That we're used to. But the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, is supernatural. And so hearing God and learning how to hear him is more like a process in evaluating what was the results of when you heard God's voice or his prompting or even a feeling of doing a certain thing. Make sense? And so that's more of a challenge. Did you experience death, which was distance from God, is really all we're talking about there, or did you experience life and peace? Now, I wish I could just say that's the end of the sermon because you guys can figure that out, but it's not all that cut and dry. Because when you follow the self, you will have immediate good feelings. It feels good when you do your own thing. You're feeling satisfied. You're just fine. And you could even fool yourself that the good thing you're doing was right from God because it just feels so good. But those feelings, they come and they go. Like last week we talked about, Jesus said, get up and do something. Now, just because I think I heard God and I get up and do something does not mean it was God. With me? You have to test it out. Was it really life and peace or was it death? Now, one of the ways you can tell what really works is with self, if you feel good after you do this thing, and then you get empty. And all of a sudden, the energy and the power and the good feelings is totally dissipate. And you're like, where did that all go? Well, it's a simple thing of the law of diminishing returns. And anybody in the stock market, anybody in a company knows this concept. And the longer that you keep going down a path and it's not the right path, it is going to have diminishing returns. When you do something for the self, the thing that once made you happy, let's say money, you know what? I want X amount of money, and when I get that amount of money, then I'm going to be happy. And then when you get that amount of money, you're like, I'm happy. That must have been God. How awesome is that? And then at some point, not very long after, there's a severe emptiness. You're like, I need this much more money. And so you work and you prioritize and you do whatever it takes to get that amount of money. And then you get it and you score and you're happy. And then you're empty again. Same thing with happiness. You know what? All I need is a drink. I just need one drink and I'll be fine. I'll be good. And you take that drink. I'm good. I'm feeling good. I'm so, thank you, God, for putting liquor on the face of the earth because I'm feeling fine. Yeah? Now, maybe there's nothing wrong with drinking that one drink. But then you know there's something wrong when you feel empty. And it doesn't take very long. You're like, you know what? Need two drinks. I don't want to wait until the evening. I want to make sure I have one for lunch. And so it goes and goes. I'm just going to peek at porn. You know, just a peek. You know, all kinds of people doing it all the time. Oh, yeah, I like that. That's really cool. And it leaves you empty. You want more. And you want more. And you end up down these paths over and over again. And you don't know how you got there. That's because your feelings drove you there. Your feelings drive. That's the evil part of what goes on here, is the natural self is always driving you someplace. It's just like, you go. You're going to push you. You're going to go, and you're going to go where the Spirit leads. He leads you. He invites you. And you know when it's a Spirit, when you don't feel driven to have to do something, but you're actually led by God's Spirit to do something. And then you feel satisfied. Now, the terrible thing about this is a lot of times when you do what God's called you to do, you don't feel good about it right away. Anybody had that experience? I want you to go talk to so-and-so. Oh, you do not feel like doing this at all. And you go and you do it, and you still don't feel good about it. But it brought life and peace. And there's this ultimate deep joy that you did what was right, and it was sound, and it was solid. And then the feelings come later, after a few weeks or a few months come by, you're like, that was the right thing to do. I was flowing in the Spirit of God, and it didn't feel good at the time or even leading up to it, but now I know it's life and peace, and I can stand with security before the throne of Jesus that I did what was right. Here you can't do that. And the great thing about the Spirit is where this kind of, you know, when you start going down these cycles of I want more, 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 I want more, more, more to make me happy, these are cycles of death. That's what it is. It's cycles of, you got more until it crashes you down. Cycles of death would have been a great title for today's sermon, don't you think? Cycles of death, Sunday at the river. That's another subject. That's a cycle of death, and it just leads you down and down and down. Whereas you're following the Spirit, it might be slower, but it ultimately works you up and up and up towards God, because you build a momentum, because once you've obeyed God a few times, it becomes easier. In fact, there's a great quote, what took faith for you to do today will not take faith for you to do tomorrow. Does that make sense? Because you already did it. And so that's where you're able to do more and more and more and be more and more and more. That's what freedom in Christ is truly all about. So be honest with yourself. Are you experiencing death in your spiritual life or life and peace? Let's go to verse 12 in Romans 8 again. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. It means die is separation from life in the Spirit. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. You'll have this full life that Jesus promised, because those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. See, sins, feeling, self is going to drive you while the Holy Spirit leads you. Verse 15, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father, which is the most affectionate name for Daddy. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And Jesus says, if you ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, he will give him to you. And so have you asked for the Holy Spirit? Have you asked him to fill you? And that's what I would like to propose to us today. Have you asked God to fill you with his Holy Spirit? And have you begun to walk with him? Have you begun to value what he values most, you and others in his church body? Because in that way, you don't treat yourself or others or the church like I did my Tempest. And you just drive it to the ground. You just toast that thing and pretend that you love it. But you care for it. And you have life and peace. You live a life that makes a difference. And you can stand firm, strong, and confident before the throne. In that day, all we will stand before that seat of Christ. And so I'd like you to just bow your heads and ask for the Holy Spirit. And as we continue in worship, see if God doesn't change the way that you feel.
the first song that we're going to do here is a little retro. I haven't done it in a while. But it is about that first verse that we looked at from Revelation about our love growing cold. So, guys, stand up. Sing this, like, big happy family that we are.